Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy them, both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wives and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. 2 of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Now may our hearts be prepared to receive this week's message from Pastor Pamela Sheffield. What God tells you to do, do it.
Good morning, church. Hope everybody's good this morning. Let us pray. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. My title is, What God Tells You to Do, Do It. God's intention was for everyone on earth to be good and live in harmony. But most of the people started to misbehave. They forgot about God and what he told them to do. But there was only one man and his family who worshiped and listened to God. His name was Noah. Because he listened and obeyed God, Noah and his family was saved from a bad storm, or we can say a flood. We are going to see how God hates sins and judges those who enjoy it. Yes, Noah served God, but also he was not sinless. Chapter 9, verse 20 says, Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard, and he made wine. Noah drank some of the wine. From that he became drunk and lay naked in his tent. What's the big deal? Some of us walk around naked, don't we? We even sleep naked sometimes, don't we? Well, I don't think that was so bad. But getting drunk was. That does not mean that he did not love God. No, he did not. It just means he was not perfect. But Noah wholeheartedly loved God and obeyed God. For a while, for a lifetime, he walked step by step in faith as a living example to his generation. Like Noah, we live in a world filled with evil, and we too make mistakes one time or another. Some people make it over and over, Are we influencing others? Or are we being influenced by them? That's a great question. Brother and sister, the boat Noah was to build was no ship like today. The boat was the length of a football field, as high as a four-story building. The ark was exactly six times longer than it was wide. And guess what? It was built by a handful of people who listened to God and do what he said, do. Yes, they obey his command, not like some of us. Brother, it was built miles from water. And he promised Noah that he will protect them and keep them safe from any harm or danger. My first point is, he will keep us safe. God made a covenant with Noah that he will keep them safe. God always makes a covenant with his people who listen to him. How reassuring it is to know that God's covenant is established within us. He is our God, and he will always protect and keep us safe if we do what he tells us to do. Brothers and sisters, if God tells us to do something, we must do it. We must be faithful to him so that we can have a relationship with him. Noah listened to God. And when God told him to build the ark, he did not hesitate. He did not question him. He and his family went straight to work on it. Other people was warned of what was to come. 1 Peter 30:20 says, "Who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built?" I don't think they just built it overnight. This has been going on probably for months and months. So the people saw what was going on, but they didn't obey. They didn't listen. In the ark was only 8 people, and there were Noah's wife and his children. Only 8 out of thousands. Think of this right now, this whole earth. And only 8 people from the church were saved. Wow. Only 8 found worthy to enter the ark and were saved when the flood overtake them? You see, while we are puzzled over things, God is speaking to us. But some of us are just not listening. But in the end, he will triumph. Christ's victory indicates his power, his control, and transcendence over all creation. He saves. He exerts himself to rescue anyone who obey him. But apparently, the others did not expect that God would really cause a flood to come upon the earth. Brothers and sisters, today people have not changed much. They said they believe in God, but they are not willing to listen and do what God says do. It's like the judgment that is to come. Many do not believe that it's going to happen. But believe me, it's coming. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but it will happen. Yes, my brothers and sisters, those who don't believe in God will try to encourage us not to believe. Whew. But we must must remember his promise to Noah to keep him and his family safe always. My second point is, God never breaks his promise. God promised to always protect and help his people. Genesis 21:1 says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. He promised to give her a child, and he did." Now keep in mind, Abraham was over 100 years old, and Sarah was also up there in age. But that did not stop God from keeping his promise. God blessed them with a child, and they lived to see him become a man. Brothers, doing the impossible is what God does all the time. Our problem won't seem so impossible if we let God handle them. If we stop taking it on our own and trust him to do what he said he's going to do. He handled Don's problem. No cancer. Thank you, God. Miss Jessie, who broke her hip, her pelvic, I should say, she couldn't move. She couldn't do anything. And now she's walking with little pain. 96 years old. Most of them get hurt. They don't get up anymore. But this woman gets up. She fights right through that pain. Ooh. Do you think the doctor did that? No. It's prayer. I know all of us prayed for her and for Don and for my brother Garnet. It's not man. It's God. Thanks be to God. Say amen, church. Come on now. He promised Moses to bring his people out of Egypt, and he did. He promised to keep Joseph safe, and he did. But the biggest promise was to send a Savior to save the world. He did. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to take away the sins of the world, so that we can become sinless if we trust him and believe in him. Yes, he promised to keep Noah and his family safe through the flood, and he did. Not a hair was touched on their bodies. He dried up the water, and he placed them on dry land. What a mighty God we serve, people. We serve a mighty God who promised to be with us no matter what our situation is, no matter what color we are, no matter if we're rich or poor, no matter if we're a preacher or a helper. We are one in his sight, and no one is better than the other. My third point is, we are one. Means one of the same substance, first in a series, or to be unique. John 10:16 says, "I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." What he meant was the other sheep were non-Jews, like the Gentiles, who he came to save. This is an insight into the worldwide mission. You see, the Jews failed to realize who he is, and that Jesus came and died for all who sin. Not just the Jews, but for us all. Some people want to restrict God's blessing to their own group. Jesus refused to be limited by the fence we build. We better break it down. In verse 30, he said, I and the Father are one. This is the clearest statement of Jesus' divinity he ever made. Yes, Jesus and the Father are not of the same person, but they are one in essence and nature. Thus, Jesus is not merely a good teacher. He is God. His claim to be God was unmistakable. The religious leaders wanted to kill him because their laws said that anyone who claimed to be God should be put to death. They did not believe that yet God came down in the form of a man. That is why up to this day, most of them don't believe in Jesus. They just believe that he was just a prophet. But did they truly believe in God? You believe in God, you believe in his son. Isn't that why God sent the flood? Because they started to act worldly, not trusting him, not believing in the truth, not doing what he told them to do, just like a lot of us today. We do not believe he is who he said he is, not doing what he said do. But Noah believes. He loved God. He does everything God tells him to do. Why? Because God was the most important thing in his life. God said, build a boat and make it strong. Make it tall and very long. Have three decks. And lots of room. The people believed that Noah was crazy, like a lot of us would believe today if we said he's out there, he's right, open that door and he's coming through. They would say, oh, you crazy. You didn't see nothing. He didn't tell you to do that. He didn't tell you to build no ark. Man, it hasn't rained here for a long time. And even if it rained, it's not going to cover the earth. But Noah did not pay them any mind. He just kept on working. Just the way Jesus did not pay the Jews any mind, he just kept on doing the work of his Father. God told Noah to bring one pair of every animal, insect, etc., whatever. He did not say two or three of every kind. He specifically said one pair of every kind and lots of food. They all went inside and the rain started to fall. And I can imagine the door knock. Let me in. Let me in. Or they're running for cover, but there were no shelter to be found from the rain. It started to rain harder and harder. The flood got higher and higher until it covers the whole earth and carried the boat away. But did God forget about Noah and his family? No, he did not. The rain stopped, and Noah sent out a dove to see if there were any dry land. And he came back with an olive stick. So Noah and his family and the animals were able to go on dry land. And God said, never destroy the earth again with a flood. I imagine he did not like to see all those dead bodies washing up ashore. He must have been very, very sad because those were his children. Those were us. He loved them, but they did not listen to him. And none of us want to see anything happen to our children. We want everything good for our children. That's what God wanted, but they just did not listen. Brothers and sisters, so far God has kept his promise. Will you keep your promise to God? Can he trust you to do what he said do, like Noah and Jesus did? Can you? Will you? He promised to be there for us. Always. Share it with others. Tell them about his goodness and his mercy. Whew. But know this. God will always be there for us as long as we are there for him. There's a gentleman who said, his name was Austin. He said, some of the best advice a person can share with someone they care about is this. God will be there for you. If you need to lean on someone, there is no greater strength. If you need to move away from difficulty and towards resolve, there is no greater direction to go. If you wish to walk with happiness, there is no greater traveling companion. Follow your heart when it tells you to believe, because there is no end to his blessings. You can receive and you can know that God will be there for you. God made us. He made us the way he wanted us. You're black, you're white, you're pink, you're yellow, you're green. He made you. He loved you just as you are. No one is better than the other. God made us. He made everything that he made was very good. You're good. Don't be bad. Each day that we are on earth, we should enjoy God's perfect gift of life. We should use it wisely to show that God is in our lives by how we treat others. Like helping others when they're in need. Like just say, I love you. Or do you need a hug? Oh, if you done something wrong or they did wrong to you, just say, I'm sorry or forgive me. It doesn't take much off of you. We should use our precious gift of life to demonstrate our applications of God. God is here. He is great. He's an awesome God. He sacrificed for all of us to take upon us our sins. Oh, not his own, but ours. And to give us a chance for eternal life. We should use each day we are given to do what God said do. Too often we take God for granted. Just the way the Jews did. Just the way the people in Noah's story did. You see, they did not trust God. They did not trust Noah to tell them that there was going to be a flood. Instead, they laughed at him and thought he was crazy. But God showed them who was crazy. And it sure was not Noah. He did exactly what God said do. We too need to listen to God when he's talking to us or when he sends someone to do it for him. Jesus is always with us, especially when we gather together to listen and to do his will. From reading Noah's story, that should inspire us to trust God and to ask God to deliver us from judgment, deliver us from our sins. Ask him to stay in your life, but you have to stay in his life also. You can't expect somebody to do something for you and you do nothing for them. Do what God tells you to do. Amen.